Welcome to the Dynamics of Everyday Life, where we demystify some tricky concepts and get to know ourselves a little bit better. Welcome back to the Dynamics of Everyday Life. Those of you who received my newsletter on a Friday will already have seen the picture I've been using to promote this week's episode, Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones. I did have a small smile to myself when I realised that picture fitted this week's topic perfectly, getting battle ready. But Jamie Lannister has a reason for putting on the armour. He's going into battle. It's part of his role. Most of us are putting on metaphorical armour for a mental battle, not a physical one. And for the majority of the time, it's a battle that we've constructed for ourselves. Sometimes it can feel like we're wearing our armour even when we haven't left the house, or that we never take it off at all. But what are we defending ourselves against? Is it other people, situations, or a combination of the two? I've been very torn this week about whether to explore this topic from a Freudian perspective or a Jungian one. I'll always be drawn to the Freudian approach. I like the way he describes psychical mechanisms, and to me they make sense. However, when it comes to this topic, there's also a lot that Jung has to say on the matter. So in the interest of fairness, let's see if we can have a look at both approaches, and I'd love to hear which one appeals to you more. I'm going to start with Freud. Defence is one of Freud's key areas of work, starting right back from his earlier studies, when he uses the term defence hysteria. This gets quickly dropped as he realises that defence covers an awful lot more than hysteria. In its simplest form, Freud sees the idea of defence as coming into play when something is incompatible with our ego. Remember that our ego is the part of us that deals with reality. It's something we all have, and isn't the negative thing that popular culture today believes it to be. Something happens in our world, in our reality, that our ego feels threatened by, so it springs into action. It then assesses whether it's coming from the outside world. If so, then what Freud calls a protective shield is created. This is a superficial layer that we create around ourselves, and it filters out the issue that is causing us the threat. If, however, it's something that's coming from the inside, from our own internal world, this is where defence kicks in. When we're talking about our own internal world, we're looking at our thoughts, feelings, and emotions about a particular situation or person. An example would be going for a job interview. There are no threats directly coming from the outside world, but we can create all sorts of ideas in our minds about what might be about to happen or is happening in the moment. Are they going to ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Will I be dressed in the right way for them? I think they're looking at me like I'm too old or too young, delete as appropriate, for this role. They've stopped writing. Does that mean what I'm saying isn't relevant? At this point, we do one of two things. If we've been in a similar situation before and know how to handle this, unconsciously we'll revert to this method and the threat diminishes. Perhaps in the example of the job interview, we know that if we do a bit of deep breathing and pause before we answer every question, it helps us focus. If, however, it activates our memory of a situation that we've been in before that we don't know how to deal with, or we've dealt with in ways that haven't proved successful, our ego rallies the troops and defensive feelings and behaviours kick in. The key here is, do we know how to respond to the potential threat? Because if we don't, that's where anxiety comes in, and we can go back to our old game of defence mechanism bingo. The list of defence mechanisms that everyone employs on a daily basis is long, and we'll all have our favourites. I've been known to lean towards rationalisation and intellectualisation when I'm trying to defend myself. But those are just the ones I'm aware of. I'm sure I use plenty more. I don't think I'd do them any justice by going into with them all separately, and a long list of them is only going to send you to sleep. It's much more useful and fun to look at them separately, as and when they come up in the topics that I'm going to cover. And today we're looking more at why, not necessarily the how or the what. So from looking at what Freud is concentrating on, one of the main themes is that if we don't know how to respond when we feel threatened, consciously or unconsciously, then defensive behaviour might start to creep in. But let's not start to blame ourselves here. There's every possibility that we may never have learnt or been shown how to deal with difficult situations. Emotional education is realistically still in its early days, and then throw on top the pandemic, where we're all separated from each other. So young people in particular couldn't learn how other people respond in challenging situations. It's no wonder that we don't know how to deal with certain situations and feel threatened. Let's turn to Jung now. Jung and Freud had initially been very close. In the early 1900s, they had what might be termed today as a bromance, and Freud was describing Jung as the crown prince of psychoanalysis, very much the heir to his throne. So a lot of Jung's work stems from the relationship with Freud. However, they fell out quite bitterly over theories, and the bromance ended in a series of letters, the Freud-Jung letters, which can be read today. Jung's understanding of the mind had some distinct differences to Freud. Whilst he also held the concept of the ego and its relationship with reality as true, he saw the conscious and unconscious minds as having a variety of different elements. The one that's relevant to us today is the persona. Jung describes the persona as a mask, similar to the one worn by actors in ancient Greece. It starts being developed in early childhood as we learn what is acceptable and what is unacceptable to people. We see how our parents respond and accept certain types of behaviours. We learn how to be loved and what is expected of us by the society we live in. We then start to build our persona with all the socially acceptable aspects of ourselves, and the bits that we don't want others to see are kept behind the persona. We put the persona on when we're dealing with other people, so we can hide the bits of us that we don't want them to see, and the things that we might truly think, but aren't something we can say out loud. Think about the job interview example that we looked at earlier. I don't think many of us, if any, would rock up at a job interview in yesterday's unwashed and unironed clothes, not having made any effort in presenting ourselves in our best light or having prepped answers to show us off to our best ability. These are the situations in particular where we want people to see us in the best light, so the not so nice parts of us get hidden behind the persona. Jung also talks about the shadow side of us, but that's for another time. Some jobs or areas of society might require us to put on a persona, and the problems arise when we never take it off and start identifying with it because it isn't real. So in thinking about us putting on our armour, it might be the case that what we're actually doing is reaching for our persona to keep us safe. The themes that are emerging for us when we look at either Freud or Jung's theories around defensive behaviour, the putting on of our metaphorical armour, is that we don't feel safe. Sometimes this is conscious, and sometimes this is unconscious. There might be some very good reasons for this. Maybe you have challenging relationships with certain people in your life where you don't feel safe. You might feel criticised, unheard, or unvalued. You might feel uncertain of what your place is in a situation. And often we can feel that we're doing something wrong, which isn't true. We've learnt how to keep ourselves safe in the best way that we know how, and sometimes that isn't enough. So what can we do? First thing to do is to work out what might be making you put on your armour. Is it a person, a relationship, or a situation? Then have a think about what you might be defending yourself against. Is it unwelcome comments or attitudes? What do you need to do in this situation to feel safe? Do you need to remove yourself from it? Not always easy or practical, I know. Do you need to consider your boundaries? Again, don't be too hard on yourself with this one. Boundaries are something that we need to review again and again, and we'll look at the topic of boundaries in future episodes to help keep you topped up. My invitation for you this week is every time you either go to put on your armour or realise that you might be wearing it, is to consider what you feel you need protection from. Once you've got an idea what that is, it can be a whole lot easier to consider what you can do to look after yourself instead. Armour is quite heavy and not necessarily something we want to be dragging around with us all the time. Looking at ourselves at this level can be challenging and unnerving as we develop our awareness, so I'd always encourage that you do this at your own speed. If you feel you need some extra help around this, then I've put together a PDF resource sheet and you can find the link for this in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Dynamics of Everyday Life. Please hit the follow button for future episodes and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at The Dynamics of Everyday Life or find me on LinkedIn at Julia Rogers. I'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on dynamics. The Dynamics of Everyday Life is brought to you by Coaching 42 and the fabulous team at the Podcast Boutique.